Okay. So, some of these questions, they're like, what is your first memory of CCA? Tell me how you got involved with CCA/CCAC. What brought you to become involved as a board member, faculty, or staff member? And, like, what are some of your favorite memories? But I think some of the better questions is, like, how would you describe the condition of the college when you first got, when you first became involved? And, like, how did you, I guess, to frame it in the lens of, like, was community arts like a foreign program when you started working here, or was this something that you like helped create and facilitate once you started working?
Well, I first learned about CCA through Grecian Goki, who she had studied and gotten an MFA at CCA in performance, and this was in the 80s. And so when I moved to California after graduating from undergraduate school where I was studying dance and theater, and wanted to go back to school, I was really interested in the fact that they had a performance program. So I actually, some of my first memories were like of coming and bringing my portfolio and talking with Steve Goldstein, who was the grad director at that time. And his office was over by Blick. Over in that area, or where Educational Technology used to be. Yeah, he was across the street. Yeah, and you know, he was very charismatic, very interested in artists, has such a history of supporting artists in the Bay Area. I actually just recently saw him again, just a few weeks ago, and
He's
yeah.
retired faculty member?
He used to be the president of the San Francisco Art Institute. I think he was raised in San Francisco. He's a musician. And he was the grad director here for the MFA program.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was in the 80s and 90s. Yep.
And so,
I'm not really sure if he was a musician. I mean, I think for accuracy, I don't know if I would put that in. Maybe you can cut that. I don't know.
Yeah, I can put like some asterisks.
Yeah, do something like that. Yeah.
So you mentioned there was a performance department. It you know, there isn't really, I feel like community arts is almost the closest thing to anything like a performance like based like department at CCA.
Yeah, I mean, I think because, you know, my orientation to visual art always came through, you know, dance and theater and movement. So I was always interested in programs that where you could work in time and space, right? So yes, there was a film video performance department at CCA. I'm not sure when it was launched. You could research that, but it was definitely kind of a program where you could do a lot of experimental work in the late 80s and 90s. And I actually came into that portal because I was making film and I was doing performance, but I ended up doing a lot of installation, a lot of sculpture. And in some ways, I just feel like it was one of the most flexible programs. And that's what many of us look for, right? And interdisciplinary.
Yeah, and that seems to be the interdisciplinary and community art seems to be really tied together, and that flexibility and interdisciplinarity.
Yes, absolutely. And also, yeah, and we can talk about that a little bit as we move on. I believe that the flexibility and the interdisciplinarity and then context, right? Like where the work is taking place and out in the world often rather than in the studio, right? Yeah. So, and you know, I think it was the other person I was really inspired to come to CCA was Suzanne Lacy. She was the Dean of Fine Art at that time. And I saw a catalog, CCA's catalog at that time. And she talked a lot about art and social change and the art's ability to make changes in society. And that was really exciting for me. And I have to say, like, between Steve Goldstein, but it was really, like, my feeling of being on the campus and all the trees. I'd say a lot of the important decisions I make in my life have to do with aesthetics. mm-hmm. and have to do with landscape mm-hmm. And environment. And so the campus was appealing, and Suzanne Lacy being there was also very interesting, became a very important part of, like, my time at CCA and what I did afterwards.
Could you maybe talk a little bit more about, like, some of your did you guys do, like, projects together or, like,
Oh, with Suzanne?
Yeah.
Well, she taught a couple of the grad seminars that I took, mm-hmm. and they, you know, had to do with public art, had to do with, art in the world, and so she was influential to all of us who were there, and some, you know, artists who have gone on to do a lot of work in the area of social practice. So some of my colleagues in those years were Harold Fletcher
mm-hmm.
And John Rubin, and who have both been sort of foundational in thinking about contextual art practice and social practice
mm-hmm.
in academia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she would basically get us together and have us interview each other. She would also include us in her projects that she was working on. I mean, that's very, very much Suzanne's style,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be working in these large-scale projects and include students, you know, all the people around her, even collaborate with them. So many of us had an opportunity to work on her series of projects in Oakland that Cliff Johnson and she and many others were, you know, sort of designing and collaborating together and making large-scale performances with youth.
That's awesome.
Then they were, the scale of their work was really awesome. You know, the amount of people that they were engaging and working with to talk about issues of growing up and youth in Oakland, relationships
mm-hmm.
between youth and police in
mm-hmm.
Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was super inspiring.
Do you think that was, like, influential in the formation of the community arts program here, like having that foundation on the Oakland campus?
Well, yeah, so it was a really interesting moment, and it was during Suzanne's time at CCA, and a real concern of hers, but also other people, faculty and administrators at CCA, to really break down the kind of, you know, power and privilege and sort of
mm-hmm.
barriers between, like, the art school on the Hill and
mm-hmm.
the local community of Oakland,
right.
you know,
right.
so
yeah.
to look at, you know, to look at disparity, but also to take students and send them out into the community to have some part of their education that would revolve around service learning,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would
mm-hmm.
revolve around working directly with community and as artists,
mm-hmm.
you know, and thinking about art as a way to not only work with people, but also to deal with social issues,
mm-hmm.
But also just to be in contact with the people that we're living with.
Yeah, no, that's
right?
super important. Like,
yeah.
I think there was actually a lot of my research in the archive, it looks like there was a lot of criticism from students and visiting faculty during, like, the 60s about how, you know, the demographic of people who attend CCA doesn't reflect the racial demographics of the larger Bay Area. And to some extent, it's a little bit, like, there is a separation between CCA and, like, the Oakland community as well. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I heard also that in the 80s that it was just kind of a tumultuous time at CCA in terms of, like, the staff organization as well, and that the school was very in a financial situation that wasn't, that didn't look very good. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that affected your time when you first, like, came to CCA?
Hmm. Well, you know, I wasn't necessarily, you know, maybe it was. I don't, it's not what stands out for me in terms
mm-hmm.
of that, in terms of that time. I mean, I came in 89 and I was there until 93.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I missed a little bit of that. But,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I think that those kinds of relationships between institutions and their local community, we are not special in that. You know,
yeah.
they happen in all over the place. You
mm-hmm.
know, with RISD and Brown University in you know, where they're located, they also have these kinds of disparity issues. And it's just
mm-hmm.
very common.
Yeah.
Very common.
For sure.
So, but But I feel like it was a really, there was a real interest in trying to look at that, you mm-hmm. know, to really take that on and to be a model, you know, find some models to work with that. And I think they did a really great job. Now, one thing that also happened at this time is they got some funding from the Irvine Foundation. It was mm-hmm. a 5-year grant that Suzanne Lacy and Sonia Mignon, who was her assistant at the Center for Art and Public Life, they launched the Center for Art and Public Life.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a 5-year grant to basically develop diversity at the college.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to develop a curricula. They mm-hmm. wanted to develop a requirement for students. So here we see the diversity studies program and its requirement coming into being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think early at that time, the community arts program, I would say, was sort of designed to be kind of a way to major in diversity studies.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see how community arts is really thoroughly sort of integrated throughout that program.
Definitely.
In terms of how people are working in the community,
mm-hmm.
working in public space. And in some very, I would say, very traditional community arts kinds of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're extending authorship, you're extending access, you're extending engagement and teaching, in groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the community arts was really, it's very connected to diversity studies, and I think mm-hmm. that at its inception,
right.
You know, where these sort of ideas were launched, the Center for Art and Public Life, Diversity Studies, and mm-hmm. then Community Arts. And they also had a home, you know, they were located across the street. I think it's now a kind of senior assisted living center,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. If you look across the street, there's some sort of, it's a new business that just moved in there.
Yeah.
It was below where the Avenue Apartments were.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also a home base for the faculty, for the students, and for Suzanne Lacy and Sonia, who were administering the Center for Art and Public Life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, if we want to follow this trajectory of like what happened and what and the sort of history of community arts, I would say that it was a really, I think, a really a seminal moment at CCA when they brought these programs online.
Mm-hmm.
And like what happens in many programs is when they're launched, that people who launch them leave. You know, mm-hmm. they take other jobs and money runs out.
Definitely.
You know, so, and then you need the institution to say, I'm going to take this on and I'm going to continue to have money for this. And, you know, I think there were probably a series of things that happened and that has not happened
mm-hmm.
Since. So we see mm-hmm. what happens, right?
Things, right.
But I would say making diversity studies a requirement, a college-wide requirement, was excellent.
Yeah, definitely.
Really excellent. And I know in community arts, as chair, I've often tried to offer opportunities for students in community arts to take more diversity studies studios as part of their education in community arts, because
mm-hmm.
it's been a small program. It's always been a small program, which I think is a great thing, but it gets really tricky when you're trying to run classes.
Definitely.
You know, so we've always felt a little, in my experience of being chair, you know, I think I was the third chair maybe
mm-hmm.
since the inception of the program. It's always been precarious.
Mm-hmm.
His position has always felt precarious. It's kind of never had a home base,
mm-hmm.
you know, like individualized. You know, it never had a particular place where it existed.
Mm-hmm.
But it has really a history of educating activists, you
yeah.
know, and educating you know, teachers,
mm-hmm.
students who went out and started teaching or running nonprofits. And, you know, I think the focus of community arts on thinking about social engagement and addressing social issues, but also using the skills of listening and teaching and creating participatory structures and curricula as a way to engage publics.
Mm-hmm.
has really given students a lot of really professional skills,
yeah.
you know, to go out and be able to translate those things immediately into a job market, you know, from museums to nonprofits to, you know, one of our most recent graduates in community arts, Lala Espinoza, is currently getting her PhD in performance studies mm-hmm. at UC Berkeley after graduating just a year ago.
Wow. What a year ago. That's intense.
Yeah, she was an older student returning.
Mm-hmm, right.
But did you have a question?
Oh, I was going to say, like, you know, I think community arts, it has, like, a really, like, strong legacy at BCA in terms of, like, some of the programs that feel kind of, like, fundamental. So, like, Center for Art and Public Life, with that founding, do you think you could talk a little bit more about how community arts has interacted with that particular part of BCA? I don't want to guess call it a department.
You mean the Center for Art and Public Life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the center, which has now been changed, it has a new directorship. It's now called Center for Impact. Mm-hmm. It's taking some new direction. Mm-hmm. But I would say community arts benefited a lot over the years from the kind of programming that the center was supporting and bringing online. Mm-hmm. You know, I would the Engage curriculum that Sanjeev Sethi designed as a college-wide initiative, I think was completely inspired by community arts and diversity studies in terms of partnering with the community and the importance of that and the kind of skill set that students gain, you know, when they're actually working directly with organizations and people on site in context. So, you know, in some ways I felt like the community arts program, I wouldn't say it necessarily diminished, but I don't know if it actually benefited from these college-wide initiatives. I think it took a lot of the things that community arts did best and made them college-wide, but I don't know if community arts got the credit for it.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And I also think, and I think you can always look back to find, like, parts of the story of why things develop the way they do. And I would say with Sanjeev Sethi, who was the director at that time, he was also the chair of community arts.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two things that he was trying to do at once, you know?
Yeah.
Run a program that needed a lot of support and needed more students and then also run the center. And I think that it was at cross purposes, but I also think he did a pretty interesting job of trying to develop some new initiatives at the college, you know, to move the conversation forward. Now, whether it did that much for the program, I don't really know. I think the program has always been small. Mm-hmm. It's always been kind of like a conscience at the school.
Right, right.
You know, yes, and it also likes to really think a lot about institutional critique.
Mm-hmm.
It likes to think about power and privilege and also, you know, what makes things public, right?
Yeah.
So I would say the center was always an intimate partner with community arts. I think it went from being a home base to maybe an organization that had opportunities to fund, you know, community arts projects like the micro-granting project and to support, you know, students in taking courses that had a lot of support and structure for working with community partners in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are all things that community artists have learned and gotten a lot from because that's their interest, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So could you talk a little bit about when you became chair of community arts and maybe some of the challenges you've had to overcome in your time as chair?
Yeah, I became faculty at CCA in 2005, I think it was. I had been running the pre-college program for a couple summers and then joined CCA to work with Casey Rosenberg in the first year program and helped launch and design the 4D program.
Mm-hmm.
That had not existed before then.
Wow.
And that was also a way to bring time and media right into, it had existed in the core program, but they kind of revised it a little bit. And it was also a way to bring social practice and social engaged art and community practice into core curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that through the 4D portal.
Right.
So, and then I became chair of community art, I think it was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And, Sanjeev left the college, and I really didn't have a mandate to do big things for community arts in the sense mm-hmm. of, it was really about, let's maintain this program, we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna do anything grandiose here, mm-hmm. but the students need, they need someone at the helm who's really listening to them
mm-hmm.
and can be involved with them. And I would say that my time as the chair was a lot about trying to generate a home base for students,
mm-hmm.
you know, without a physical space of our own.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we developed this in-residency program where we would take over the galleries and sort of move in for 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
and have our classes there and events and residencies, and those were really exciting events that would happen in the fall. And then we would always take a trip, and we had fun for traveling to meet social engaged artists or community-based artists.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go to L.A., we'd go down to Joshua Tree, we would also send students to Open Engagement, which is an annual social engagement conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Chicago or New York. I mean, we would just really try to use our leverage and our budget to support artists in meeting more artists,
mm-hmm.
right? And to attend conferences. And, you know, in a way, community artists are already out in the world. I mean, mm-hmm. it's sort of their plan in
yeah.
a way, right? So then we just tried to highlight that and to, you know, support that kind of movement and engagement, you know, mm-hmm. to go see things, you know, and to, in a sense, you know, I think community art students are some of my favorite at the college.
Mm-hmm.
I admire them. They tend to think in 360. They have a lot of concerns. And I think that the faculty teaching community arts have created a series of signature courses that
mm-hmm.
have been instrumental, really, in modeling practice
Definitely.
And activism, you know? So,
do you ever feel like, you know, because the community arts program is so small, do you ever feel like the school is not giving as much, like, full support as it could, or do you ever feel like sometimes the resources that are given to the community arts program is, like, not, you are never, like, you have to fight for the space that to exist at PCA or, you know, create spaces and resources for community art students as well?
Well, it was really obvious that in the open campus that space has been a premium for a while.
Right.
You know, we don't even have enough room for our classes.
Mm-hmm.
And Oakland, I mean, the community arts program really wanted to stay connected to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't want to move to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we
could potentially have done that, you know, and
mm-hmm.
maybe like garnered a classroom or something like that. I'm not positive about that, but we were invested in the garden,
mm-hmm.
and I was
mm-hmm.
a real promoter of the garden on campus and used it as a classroom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so, you know, I think that I have always had a very clear picture of, like, what resources are available
mm-hmm.
to fine arts. And I think I was never completely in the boat that it was against community arts.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't take that personally, but it was it was also, like, a huge concern that the school obviously did not have the funds or didn't prioritize
mm-hmm.
funding mm-hmm. community arts in the way that maybe it had been during the
mm-hmm.
Irvine grant.
Right.
And also, what was I going to say? That the students cared about having a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that when your students feel displaced and the students feel like they don't have the resources, then you feel like fighting. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So that has become a little bit embedded, I think, in the reality of community arts. I think mm-hmm. when it lost its home base over at the Center for Art and Public Life, you know, where there's a place where you could go and see your faculty and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people miss that.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, certain kinds of fights get carried on from mm-hmm. semester to year to year, just through institutional history and through different faculty voices. And but, you know, I feel like community arts definitely had needs that were not able to be met.
Definitely.
You know, and it has suffered mm-hmm. for that. And I also know that certain things have taken place that would have taken place whether we had a classroom or not. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, things have still been advancing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, and, you know, when we had the micro grants, like, things come and go in terms mm-hmm. of funding and funding mm-hmm. cycles. They just do,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, what I do feel is that fine arts cares about community arts because mm-hmm. it hasn't maxed it yet.
Yeah.
No, and that's really key.
Yeah.
You know, that it and diversity studies serve something here at the school mm-hmm. that we're still trying to understand and figure out and support.
Right.
And it's just, for whatever reason, it's taking a long time. And I think the thing that is important also, I think, to think about in terms of legacy is that I think there are really not many community arts programs on a BFA level at an art design school that mm-hmm. exists at this time. This is very unique for us mm-hmm. to hold this and to hold this space and to hold it open and mm-hmm. to find the best ways to ensure that our curriculum, you know, maintains these ethics
mm-hmm.
and these values, you know, at the school. And, you know, in a way, it's like social engaged art and community-based art are, you see it everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it embedded mm-hmm. in each program, whether design or fine art.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
wants to claim it,
yep.
you know, and it's really important to hold on to our origins and to our origin stories and the legacy. And also that there's value that should be gained from that origin.
Yeah,
right?
And the history.
Yeah, and the history. So we want to tell a better story. Mm-hmm. About community arts and
mm-hmm.
About the history of public art at the institution and that is, you know, a kind of ongoingness that it, you know, unfortunately we are still figuring out and still
yeah.
wrestling with.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think the community arts program will change after the move to San Francisco? And are there specific, like, issues that are arising currently in preparation for the move?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of thinking about sites, you
mm-hmm.
know, like spaces and classrooms, we really continually asserted that we needed a classroom,
yes.
that we needed a
mm-hmm.
space where we could meet. And so we put out that we wanted a hearth, we wanted
mm-hmm.
a kitchen, we wanted a big table, and we wanted it to open up on gardens, you know,
mm-hmm.
or some sort of outdoor space. And we'll see if that comes true. That is what we asked for
mm-hmm.
in terms of how we could live, I think, better,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a new campus.
Right.
But I don't think community arts is going away or will ever go away.
Mm-hmm.
It might change shape.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea exactly at the moment, but I think that what I am impressed with is that I do think that fine art cares a lot about this legacy,
mm-hmm.
and it cares about bringing it forward. It's not, it hasn't been, you know, the program hasn't ended yet,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it's going to end before we move.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know, and I don't even know if it'll end or not. I think that, it's also part of an institution who wants to update things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to keep things moving forward and at the same time staying connected to our history and our past.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like in a certain way, community arts is so much about ethics mm-hmm. and ethical actions that we need to stay vital and make ourselves known, at least in private conversations, about what it means to be a fine artist in the next century, mm-hmm. you know, this coming century, right? And in this very volatile time that we're living in now, we mm-hmm. need community arts more than ever.
Definitely. Do you think, a lot of programs that are, public art projects that community arts students have been involved in, you know, a lot of it is Oakland-based. How do you think, maybe that interaction with the larger, Bay Area community will be when placed into, where the current SF campus will be located? Do you think, I guess in terms of speaking about gentrification in that area, how community art students may react or work around it, or has there been discussion of it recently?
Well, I think not only community arts, I think a lot of our BFA students who are connected to Oakland will be feeling the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I sort of imagine that you could never not be working in Oakland.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that it's going to create a situation where we are moving across the bay and, you know, having to develop other kinds of ways of thinking about curricula.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's Oakland, I don't know. I think Oakland is our home. It's not going to change in a way if our campus moves. I think mm-hmm. Oakland is incredibly, vital and a community that has a lot of needs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's also a very creative community. So, I mean, my hope would be something like, let's have an Oakland outpost. It's mm-hmm. like a storefront, you know, where we lead classes and initiatives and programming, you know, you could maybe do that in San Francisco in some way, but it makes sense to stay connected to Oakland in some mm-hmm. way, you know, whether on mm-hmm. campus or not, you know. So those are the kinds of things we need to start thinking about, mm-hmm. outposts, other kinds of ways of you know, partnering with nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
you know. So maybe we are, you know, engaged very closely with some nonprofits in Oakland
mm-hmm.
that we develop initiatives and programming and jobs and mm-hmm. internships for our students. You know, mm-hmm. so then it might not necessarily be have to be our own space, but we are integrated into the life of a couple, you know, nonprofits that our students are going to be intimately connected to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so thinking about what are some new models, and I think there's always time to think about new models, you know, and different ways that students want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, students want to be out of the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and how could a bunch of students go and work with a faculty off-site somewhere on their project?
Mm-hmm.
You know, students would get so much out of doing something like that in the summer. So, you know, how do we we're not going to stop thinking about what are the best ways to develop education,
mm-hmm.
you know, for mm-hmm. students who are interested in taking care
yeah.
of a crazy world.
Right.
You know, and using the artist sensibility, the skills that we learn as artists, which is incredible education,
mm-hmm.
to be creative thinkers, to be creative instigators, to be creative, amplifiers. You know, with and for people,
mm-hmm.
you know, with and for our neighborhoods and with and for our communities and for a really different kind of notion of what a public space and publics can be doing together, right?
Mm-hmm.
As in groups, as citizens, you know, I mean, we need all the help we can get at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like the idea of artists as public intellectuals, you know, mm-hmm. that they are also able to speak across a whole series of ideas and experiences and
right.
disciplines and, in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know?
Very, unique problem solvers. And then
yes.
definitely, a perspective, I feel like you know, with artists, you talk to a lot of different types of people, you know? And
yeah.
I think CCA is really encouraging about not getting so strung up in one, like, focus or major, you know. If you start getting too comfortable, CCA's kind of curriculum is all about, like, okay, now, like, let's make you uncomfortable and do something you've never done before. And I think
that's
a really strong aspect of what students like to learn at CCA.
I think you're right, and I think that the relationship between students and teachers at CCA is also quite unique,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was when I was here as a grad student. There is a kind of thing that happens, mm-hmm. you know, between students and faculty that's you know, it's kind of the way we teach, you know. It's how and why and the way that we teach. It's quite unique, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the West Coast, you know. It's San Francisco. We're always thinking about social movements. We're mm-hmm. thinking about new ideas. And we're thinking about, you know, what's coming next.
Right.
You know, what can we bring in from the future? You know, mm-hmm. and I think artists are not only problem solvers. They're visionaries. They make trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They like to stir things up. They like to point at things that aren't being looked at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So to unravel and to open and to look more deeply and not only just problem solve. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And
mm-hmm.
so I think all those things we need to hold on to. And I think as community artists, it's not only like you do good in the world, it's also like you are thinking deeply about
mm-hmm.
what's the best way that we could be doing this.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And that's about breaking things down just as much as it is about making things good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just about as much about listening to the pain, you know, mm-hmm. as it is, you know, like trying to create a project that doesn't show any of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I feel like it's artists are great.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, so I guess this is my final question, but how would you like to be remembered? If you leave CCA, or like how would you like your legacy to be remembered?
That's such a nice question. I probably could answer that differently every day, but I think, as a colleague and friend and teacher that had, how do I want to say that? I don't even know exactly what the words are, but
mm-hmm.
just hang it there with me for a minute because I love the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good question. I think it's like, you know, that there was, that I had a certain kind of way of staying with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, a sort of interest in socially engaged art or about art and society that, you know, became kind of, you know, something that, you know, that I cared for but continued to sort of advocate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, poetics and the imagination, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this sense of, like, being able to think about art in many multiple contexts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess you hope that, you know, that I would be remembered for supporting that impulse in students and bringing that into curriculum and
mm-hmm.
to engage with my colleagues around these kinds of ideas that are just kind of me,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's how I think and see the world, you know? And so that I guess that my teaching and my art wouldn't really be that different than just who I am.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, that's great, Simone. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm really honored.
No,
yeah.
I was really interested in seeing what you had to talk about because I think, you know, CCA has a really long history of thinking about art responsibility and art practice, and, you know, it's definitely something I'm really interested in, and
yeah.
I think community arts is, incredibly, it's a pillar of like that practice and legacy and like concept of what the school's trying to continue.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and thank you for that. That should, those words should be included in the interview somehow.
Okay. I'll cut it off right after that.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much, Simone. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.